All right, we have one more song, and then Jason, I guess you have a special. All right, before Pastor comes, number 812, all the way in the very back, behind the index.
Sinking sand, but world all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty, mighty big man, but I can't.
Chapter 18 and verse 21. Matthew 18 and verse 21. Matthew 18, verse 21. We're looking at a section here where the Lord is talking about those who offend in the kingdom. And we looked how he talked about those who offend the children of God, and even referring to the small ones who believe in him. And then we saw the those who offend in the kingdom in reference to in the anticipated church age to come and how you're to deal with offenses in the church. And now today we want to go a little further here, and we see the teaching and parable concerning the characteristic of forgiveness by the true children of God. Starting in verse 21 with Peter talking to the Lord, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Then the rest of the chapter is an illustration the Lord gives about this type of forgiveness. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now keep that amount in mind, 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. That's a lot less money than talents, all right? 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Here we see Peter's question, kind of a self-righteous question in a way. He is saying to the Lord, well, if this is the way it is, previously talking about offenses in the kingdom and so forth, and be careful that you don't offend one of the little ones. And then here's how you take care of offenses between brothers and in the anticipated church age. Then Peter comes up with this and says, well, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? The question is, till seven times? And the Lord's going to respond back to him and say, oh, no, no, no. I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. 490 times. I think, about the 20th time you stop counting, you know. And yet you're not even close to the amount of times that you are asked by the Lord to forgive your brother. Now, Peter says, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? I believe this does preclude that that brother does repent after he does something to you. He repents and you have an obligation to forgive him back. Look at Luke chapter 17 verse 4, which is a parallel passage here. Luke 17 verse 4. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Notice the next verse. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Oh boy, we're going to need a lot of faith in trusting in you to get through that type of situation, having to forgive someone who keeps on offending you and then asks for forgiveness and he repents and you're supposed to forgive him again. Lord, increase our faith. You know, we live in a church age, folks. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and we have a resource within us to be able to do just these things the Lord has called upon Peter to do. Who wouldn't be long before Peter would realize that resource even in his own life, as beginning on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit of God came into his life in a permanent, indwelling, empowering way. And you and I have that same thing today. So the Lord says to him in answer to his question, the answer is 70 times 7, Peter. That's how. Now, can you just imagine Peter trying to, you know, maybe make a little book with all the times he's forgiven this particular brother, and he's getting close to 490 times? No, I don't think that ever is going to take place. Good. There I did it. 490 times. That's it for you, guy. No. I believe what the Lord is saying, in other words, always, always, always forgive. And before I go to another passage in the book of Ephesians, I want to just take a look at this little parable of the unforgiving servant here. He gives the illustration that the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which had a servant. And this servant owed him money. And someone has done this, and I will admit to you, I have not tried to figure this out in working day currency and so forth. But they kind of came up with this, that the 10,000 talents is almost like $12 million. As opposed to the over there where it says he owed him 100 pence, would be like $17. All right. Quite a difference there between these two servants, and quite a difference in the response. and quite a difference in the type of forgiveness that was showed. This servant who owed $12 million realizes his situation is very bad, and he cries out to the Lord of his master, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And that Lord had compassion on him and loosed him and forgave him the debt. I can't help but see the salvation experience there. And maybe not salvation for this servant, but the salvation that's provided for all servants, okay? Whether they're saved servants or lost or wicked servants, the debt has been paid and has been forgiven. Oh, the cross comes into my mind where the Lord says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And the price paid there is sufficient that all men might be saved. Every person can get saved. But this same servant, after he was forgiven all the debt, went out, found a lower servant than he was, who owed him something like $17. And what does he do? He grabs him by his throat. He shakes him and says, "You pay me all that thou owest." And that servant did the same thing that he did to his Lord. He bowed down to that servant and said, "Have mercy upon, have patience with me, I'll pay thee all." But he would not. Now he's just been forgiven a great debt. And he can't forgive a little small debt by another servant of his. And so he put him in prison till he would pay the debt. And all the fellow servants who observed all this, they were very sorry. And you know what? An unforgiving heart is a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing for you personally, but I'm going to say this. It affects everybody else around you as well when you are unforgiving. It's amazing how like a sickness and a disease this bitterness will spread when forgiveness is not shown. And the fellow servants saw what was done. They were very sorry. And they told the Lord about his servant, what he did. Well, that Lord brought that servant in and he called him, "Oh, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because you desired me to do so. You should have done the same thing to your servant, even as I had pity on thee." And his Lord was wroth, delivered him to tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. You know, the characteristic of all those who are true children of God is that they know the true mercy of God. They're aware of how merciful God has been. That song we sang, "And Can It Be?" As you all stood there and sang that song, doesn't it come down into your heart like, how can it be that God can forgive such a great sin against himself? How can it be? Of course, the song goes on to show you that it's through Christ and through the greatness of his sacrifice that he has made for you and me. Then you know what? We then should be able to forgive as well. We've been forgiven a great debt. We can't possibly pay it back. Then we should be willing to forgive those around us who have not really offended us that greatly as we have offended the Master up in heaven. This unforgiving servant was only a professing believer in the King's mercy. Oh, he was glad to have it. But you know what? He really wasn't appreciative of it. And the master calls him a wicked servant. It was not long before the wicked heart revealed him for what he was inside. You know, when you read this whole thing, you know what you really see? You don't see all these outward things, you know, the money, the amounts, and everything else. You know what you see? You see the inward workings of the heart of men is what you see going on. And when you have been wonderfully saved, God has done a work inside of you. Now, I'd like to take you to Ephesians chapter 4.
Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to start at verse 17. We're going to work our way down to the last verse, where if you look ahead and cheat and look ahead, you know how I'm may going to be ending this. But I want you to know you have been saved with a wonderful salvation, and the mercy of God has been great. So great that it has changed the inside of you into a different kind of a person. And you can't be like this wicked servant here. You shouldn't be like that wicked servant. It can be that a Christian can sometimes show signs of not being forgiving, but it's not the characteristic of those who have been shown great mercy by God. Look now, verse 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles." Walk, don't walk like they, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now that's a description of the lost Gentile person, which you all were at one time. Verse 20, "But ye have not so learned Christ." Now we're going to talk about those who are in Christ, who have been wonderfully, mercifully forgiven your debt. "Ye have not so learned Christ." Verse 21, "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts," like that wicked servant back in our passage, "and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Folks, I see an inward man here. I'm not just seeing the outside. The outside's affected by what the inward man thinks and lives and understands. Verse 25, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not." See, anger's not always wrong. But when it leads to sin, then it's wrong. There are some things we're to be angry at. False teaching. False doctrine. We should be angry with that. "But sin not in your anger. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." Don't give the devil any room in your life. A place to sit down there and cause you trouble. Don't give him place. Verse 28. "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Remember I told you how when you don't forgive, it kind of festers out to everybody else. Here's an example of it. "That it may minister grace unto the hearers." Our lives should show forth the life of Christ to other people. Verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." Okay, how are you supposed to do all these things mentioned here? Put away lying, put on a new man, put off concerning the conversation of the old man, don't steal anymore, work with your hands, no corrupt communication, edify each other. And you can see if you've already cheated and gotten down there, the last verse, we're going to see forgiveness. You know, how do you do this? As you yield to the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of you. Grieve him not. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And now look, And be ye kind one to another. Oh, how people need some kindness. Just old-fashioned kindness. Now, this isn't just to show to the lost of the world. Do you know what this is for? Us. Us. You're like those fellow servants who were concerned about this one. Wow, master, do you know that servant? You forgave all that debt. Do you know what, the fellow servants. We're all to be kind and forgiving to each other. They were concerned that he wasn't being forgiving to another fellow servant. So they were bringing the situation to the Lord. And you know what happens? Your heavenly Father will take care of that matter. If you're not forgiving like you should. Christian to Christian. Christian to Christian. Be kind one to another. Now I know you may not all like each other. Your idiosyncrasies and everything. I don't like the way they dress. Okay. Boy, why don't they cut their hair different? Why didn't that guy part his hair on the same side as I do? Okay. We all got differences. But you know what? Be ye kind one to another. And you're gonna see that the reason given is not just selfish. Well, if I'm kind to them, they'll be kind to me. Kind of a thing. You should be kind no matter what. It doesn't say be kind to others when they're kind to you. It's really something, you know, with the kids. And we've had them around for a few days. You constantly have to remind them to say what? Thank you. Thank you. Then when they get the thing, and they've utilized it and everything. That's when they should say thank you. And then the person having done that kindness should say, you're what? You're welcome. You're welcome. Those are words we use to describe our appreciation for what's been done. And you ought to be doing that. And that should come automatically. And it will if you're yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. It won't if you're yielded to the flesh. It won't. You'll have all those other things. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice. That's what will show. But when we don't grieve the Spirit, we can be kind one to another. Tender hearted. Kindness is one good thing. Tender-heartedness. That's the idea of entering into someone else's difficult situations. That your heart feels sad when they are sad. Your heart is glad when they are glad. I mean, tender-hearted. There's no blessing in being a tough guy where I don't get emotional or anything. How about a little tender-heartedness? Well, they brought it upon themselves, so let them crawl in their misery. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. There we go. All right, we're right back to it. Forgiving one another. You're gonna bother each other between now and heaven. All right? You're gonna do it. It's gonna happen. You're gonna offend each other. It is going to happen. Well, how should you respond? Well, boy, I should let anybody do anything to me. I'll get even with them. That's the way the Gentiles walk in lasciviousness and covetousness. That's how you walked before you were saved. When someone offends you, that's an opportunity for you to exercise your kindness, tenderheartedness, and your forgiveness.
And you might as well start because you have 489 more to do. All right? You got a lot more forgiveness. No, I'm just joking on that a little bit. We should always be willing to forgive. That is going to be a difficult one. But the way you can do it without much difficulty is to look at the rest of the verse. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, if you're saved here this morning, there are not a single one of you who doesn't fit into the description of that verse right there. You have all been forgiven. And may I say, you are just like that first servant in our passage. You've been forgiven a great debt that you could not possibly pay back. And even though he said, "Oh, have patience with me and I'll pay you all." Oh, his debt was so great. And everybody knew it. That when the Lord was gracious and merciful to him. Wow. And when he turned around and then did not do the same to a fellow servant who owed little, who possibly could have paid it off if given some time, they were sorry. The fellow servants were sorry. Now notice here in our passage, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I see two persons of the Godhead there working. Plus the third is the Holy Spirit mentioned up there in verse 30. So you got the three persons of the Godhead involved here in this tenderheartedness, being kind and forgiving and everything. Now back to our passage there in Matthew 18. As it comes down to the end. So likewise. Now this is the Lord talking. So likewise shall my, that's the Lord Jesus Christ's personal heavenly Father, his Father back in heaven. So you have the Son on earth saying, my Father in heaven will do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So you ought to forgive one another. Well, how many times? Always. Always. You'll never come to the end when you say, okay, I have struck off the 490th time. I've fulfilled my obligation. I don't believe that's what Jesus is trying to say. I think it's obvious to all that it's to be always done. We're to forgive each other. And getting back to that, what I said, and I'll close with this. You are going to offend each other. And I believe the Lord foreknew that, foresaw that, and talks about what you're to do when it takes place. It will happen. You're going to get on each other's nerves. Okay? Somebody's going to say something to someone else, and what are you going to do? You're going to ruin it for everybody? You're going to get even? You're going to let your bitterness and your unforgiving heart just spread like a disease? Or are you going to do what the Lord says? Because that's how brothers dwell together in the kingdom and in the church. When they forgive one another. I'm not talking about overlooking false teaching and doctrine and everything. That we're supposed to be very clear about. But offenses between us, we need to be ready. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you, I forgive you. Now, of course, that brother does need to repent and come to you and ask for forgiveness. And you say, okay, then if they don't, then I can hold the grudge. I think even then, you need to be forgiving, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. For if you don't, that bitterness will just well up in you and destroy you from the inside out. And it won't be long, because the inside isn't right, that your outside is going to start acting in an ungodly way, like you did before you were saved. I mean, the exhortation is there in Ephesians chapter 4, because it's possible that a Christian can show forth some of those characteristics of the old man. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there. We wouldn't have to be told to be forgiving. If we all did it automatically upon salvation, we wouldn't have to be told. But we have to be told, because it's possible that you can at times, when you're not being filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, you can show forth fruits of the flesh. And it can destroy a church. It can destroy any fellowship of believers. But don't you be the one doing it. Let's all determine in our hearts, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven me, so will I do. Now, okay, you say, all right, what does that passage back there mean? You know, if you want to try to always, in every single passage, get doctrine for salvation or eternal security and everything, you can just about do anything you want with the doctrine. I believe it's just simply there that the Heavenly Father will not forgive you if you don't forgive others. And don't we do that even with our children? You know, if they don't say thank you or you're welcome, or they don't say they're sorry or seek forgiveness, and then the other one doesn't forgive, we work hard to try to make that happen. Even among unsaved children who are growing up or trying to train them some things, your Heavenly Father up in heaven will do the same. And it may mean he may have to bring in discipline, disciplinary action spiritually in your life to get you to forgive your repentant brother and even your non-repentant brother. I'm sure you've all had people that you've actually forgiven who they don't even know the thing that they offended you about. They're oblivious to it. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you, you need to forgive them. When they do repent, even when they don't repent. Certainly when they do repent, it's your obligation to forgive them. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Oh, an abundance of problems will be solved if we just learn to be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving of one another. Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord, as believers that we are in Christ, to know that our Heavenly Father in heaven, just like the Lord said while he was here on earth, will take care of matters if we don't take care of them down here. But help us to be tender-hearted, kind, and forgiving, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Oh, the debt has been paid. Sin has been dealt with. And we then ought to forgive others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's been a long morning. We got communion in there. Had all the special music. And once again, you can congratulate Marge. She is totally an empty nester now. All right. But it was good. And Marge was up there with all of her shining glory. Just happy as can be that her son, Craig, is married. And on they go. And when you think of them, pray for them that God would bless them in their lives, that they would live for the Lord. It's been good to realize he grew up in our church. Many of you had a part in his life. He watched you and everything, you know. So you've got an influence on his life. And it was a real blessing to see. And it was also a beautiful type of the church in Christ. We understand that when they kissed, it was the first time they ever kissed. How about that? That doesn't happen too much these days. I think that's something to talk about.
Oh, well, yeah, no. They're to be honored and respected for that. First time they ever kissed. And you could tell it. They missed each other on the way. No, they... but it was cute. It was really a nice thing. And God bless them. God bless them. All right. We'll see you later.